Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I am so happy to be back with another episode in our Women's Wellness Series this September. Thank you so much to those of you who have reached out to let me know you like these topics. And please feel free to send me requests for future women's wellness topics. You can email me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. Now, today we are actually wrapping up our series, ending the month of September with a chat about pelvic floor health. And if you've wondered it, today we're probably going to answer it. I know this is a topic that many of us don't feel super comfortable talking about, but if you have had honest conversations with other girlfriends, probably especially those who have given birth, you're going to hear the topic of pelvic floor come up in one way or another. So this is where we lay it all down. My friend Sierra shares openly, honestly. We have a great time chatting, and I think we cover a whole lot. Also, there are so many great links over in show notes, so be sure to go over to show notes, which you can find at monicaswanson.com/pelvic-floor. Why not? We're keeping it simple, pelvic floor. Now, before we jump into this conversation, just a couple super quick reminders. One, if you have not yet subscribed, or I believe these days we call it followed, this podcast on your podcast app, I hope you'll do that now. You can click on the little plus sign typically if you're on Apple Podcasts. That just means that each week they will automatically download my episodes to your phone. That does two things. One, it helps get my podcast in front of more people, so it helps me, and also it helps you to never miss an episode. All right. Second, if you're not on my weekly email list yet, I want to encourage you to join that. I send one email a week, typically super short and sweet, just with anything brand new that week, typically the podcast and maybe a little word of encouragement. And then on the first Wednesday of every month, I share a coffee date email where I share some fun links, updates, usually try to make you laugh and encourage you. You can sign up for that email list at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Super easy. Also, are we social media friends yet? I love hanging out on Instagram, and you can find me at @MonicaSwanson_. Also take note, every Thursday I'm doing Q&As, which means if you've got a question, maybe you've DM'd me, I haven't been able to respond, maybe you've emailed me, I try to respond over there, but Q&As are the best place to throw out your questions because there's a good chance that if you have a question, somebody else has the same question. So be sure to come over on Thursdays. We have a great time over there, and I try to answer as many questions as I can every week. And now, without further ado, here is Sierra and I talking about everything you want to know, pelvic floor health 101. I hope you're encouraged. Sierra, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Monica. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to chat today.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have this chat for probably years, honestly. And you and I are friends in real life. And today's chat is, well, it's super special because I'm calling some of these this month just girlfriend chats, because we're just talking like two women going through life together. But also, you are, you have the expertise. You have like the actual professional side to this conversation. So I'm really excited to dive in and share these conversations we have with everybody. So before we do that, why don't you give a quick introduction to you and your family?
Yeah. So my name is Sierra. I live in Hawaii, close to Monica, with my family, my husband, and we have two little ones. They're 3 and 1. So it's full on busy time. I worked as a physical therapist in the clinic for 7 years after my 7 years of school. So it's been a 14, well, now over 14 years, but at the time It was a 14-year journey of really loving learning about the body, and so grateful for my education as a physical therapist. It's really such an amazing aspect of the medical field, and I'm very grateful. So I graduated with a Doctor of Physical Therapy in 2013 from the University of St. Augustine in California. That's where I met my husband, not in school, but at a coffee shop there. And this was it's a manual therapy based program. So I got so much hands-on experience and tools and a great foundation there, and then started jumping in. And I worked in outpatient ortho for a very long time, treating the whole body, which I love because I gained a lot of experience in that. And 4 years into that, I started having a stirring to want to do more, to go more in the direction of women's health physical therapy. And so I started pursuing that in 2017 and moved to Hawaii around that time, and actually moved partly for a job that I got offered from a physical therapist here who had a practice here for 17 years, treating women from all over Hawaii, because she was the only women's health therapist in Hawaii, and she was moving to New Zealand. So she was looking for someone to take her place. And it was amazing. She trained me for 6 months, and I feel like I got downloaded years of experience from her and got to jump right in treating patients, and I've loved it.
Amazing. Well, there's a lot more to your story, and we're going to link to where people can find your website and all the different things you have, but that's just a little snippet. But needless to say, you know a lot. You've had a lot of experience and a lot of studying. You also tell us just a little bit about your kids. You're not working in a clinic right now so much, and tell us why and what that looks like. And then I've got a big list of questions, so hold on tight, everyone.
Yeah. So in 2020, we're missing out on God's blessings from not having babies. So shortly after we became pregnant and really excited. And then when I was 18 weeks pregnant, we went to our anatomy scan to find out if we're having a boy or a girl, and got some really hard news on that day. So we found out that our son, Jack, who's now almost 4, he was diagnosed with spina bifida there. So part of his spinal column had not formed correctly. And that happens at 4 weeks gestation before you even know you're pregnant. And so really processing some of the heaviness of his life and what it could look like. So I was never able to go back to the clinic after that. I wanted to really just be home and invest everything I could in him. But when he turned 1, I was really missing what I was doing in the clinic. And I really felt like I had gained that knowledge for a reason. So I've still been building more of an online presence with some help from Monica, which has been So that's, and then we have Arlo. So Arlo, our daughter, is 2 years younger than Jack, exactly 2 years, pretty much. And it's been a joy, such a gift to have them.
Yeah, they are both such a joy. Yeah. Well, I love that. And I always think it's just so cool that God even prepared you with your physical therapy background for all these things that you do with Jack. Anyone that follows Sierra, will link to her Instagram, but you do so many amazing things. And Jack and Arlo are so blessed to have you and Chris. So the Swansons are big fans of the Rares, and there's so much more I could say, but we've got too much to cover. Yeah. So here we go. Yeah. We're going to jump in. No joke. These are the things we're going to talk about right now. Things that Sierra and I talk about, because as anyone would, when you've got a friend who's an expert in something you're dealing with, you're like, please help me. So we're going to talk just a little bit about pelvic floor health. And depending on your age and stage and where you're at in life, everyone's got a different, either story to tell, situation you're in, questions, or maybe you're young and you're healthy and you're like, but I'm scared because I hear about this thing. And I don't like people to feel afraid, like, especially when we're talking about things like menopause. I'm like, I don't want people to think there's something to fear. God made us perfectly, and we have tools and resources and ways that we can age gracefully to learn. It may be hard. Life is sometimes hard, as you will attest to, Sierra, but But God is so good, and He does give us helpful tools. And so let's talk about some of that. Maybe you can just start by giving us the quick snapshot of maybe Pelvic Floor 101. What are some of the issues that you have seen in your practice that people should be aware of that could become personal to all of us as we age?
Yes. So I would say a very high percentage of my patients that I would see here in the clinic were, there's a lot of incontinence patients where they come in. And I had a lot of older women, but women in their 50s and 60s who were finally coming in, I think just realizing, oh, I can actually do something about this. Like you said, I think we've just, even my OB recently told me like, oh, a little leaking after having babies is normal. And I didn't correct him, but I was thinking, it's actually never normal. Like, we can always strengthen that muscle with the right tools. And those muscles are made to keep you dry, to keep you continent. So if there is any leaking happening, it's good to know, hey, there's things that I can do to help that. So I would have women in more of that menopausal age coming in. Probably they'd had some changes and then maybe symptoms worsened, and then they would come in and see us for that. Prolapse was actually not one that people came in for, but I think the statistic is around 30% of women will have a prolapse.
In case anyone doesn't know what that means, what is a prolapse?
Yeah, so prolapse is, it's the descent of the pelvic and abdominal organs into the vaginal canal, sometimes rectally, but more often kind of vaginally. You'll see or feel some tissue kind of dropping down. And a lot of times you don't even know you have one, and it's fine. It's a common thing that happens with pregnancy. Okay. And so there's nothing wrong. It just can happen. So there's three grades of prolapse. There's, if it's coming total, if it's past the opening of the vaginal canal, then it's a grade 3, and that's a lot harder to reverse that. If mm-hmm. it's 2 or higher, so maybe you can see it or feel it, but it's not quite out, there are definitely ways that you can help manage that. What happens with the ligaments, especially in pregnancy? So we have that hormone relaxin that's released to help our body prepare. And it's great and important, but it can also cause more instability and more laxity in all of the tissues of our body. So the ligaments that are holding the bladder and the rectum and the uterus up can become a little more stretched during pregnancy. And then we go through labor and then, you know, other life things that are putting more pressure through there. And once the ligament is lax, there's no really tightening back up of the ligament. That's mm-hmm. why you might wake up in the morning and not have symptoms, but then by the end of the day, you might feel uh-huh. more symptoms because gravity and, you know, lifting throughout the day and just different things that we do can contribute. But you can manage it, and okay. it can be, there's a lot of different ways that you can improve it. You just may okay. not get it back to where it was before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. That's really helpful. Mm-hmm.
Another big, and I would say incontinence was the main one that people would come in through. Pelvic pain was another very common condition that I would have patients come in for. And this is really patients of all ages. What I found fascinating is that there are some girls who can never use a tampon because it's so painful, or they're just not able to relax the pelvic floor. And it's not really a muscle that we're thinking about, and we shouldn't have to think about it. Really, it should be able to relax and contract as it's needed on its own. It's an involuntary muscle, right. but we can voluntarily learn to strengthen it as well. So we had women come in for that, and really just working a lot on helping them become more aware of the feeling in the pelvic floor muscle. And if they're holding tension there, chronic stress can cause you to hold tension in the pelvic floor muscle. You can just naturally be more tense. Previous trauma can cause that. Even subconsciously, you can start to just kind of hold tightness in the pelvic floor muscle. We just kind of how your you can get tension headaches from your neck, the muscles in
your neck. Right. Yes.
Sometimes referred to as a headache in the pelvis, because you can get kind of tension around that whole area just from holding tension in the pelvic floor muscles. Huh. It's like a similar mechanism that can happen.
Okay.
So that was a common thing. Low back pain during pregnancy or SI joint dysfunction, your sacroiliac joint in your low back, especially during pregnancy. And then endometriosis was another semi-common condition that would come in too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want to jump in and talk about some of the things that are most common, mm-hmm. At least especially from my experience, mm-hmm. some of the stress incontinence. And I want you to go into that more. But for anyone who's like, okay, maybe I should see a physical therapist, but they're nervous or squeamish about what this is going to look like. Can you just give us a brief description about the evaluation? Like, what does it look like if somebody comes in first time? Yeah. What should they prepare for?
Yeah. So, it can be vulnerable. It's definitely different than, you know, coming in for shoulder pain or neck pain or knee pain. But I was trained that on the first visit, you try to do a pelvic evaluation. And what that, well, so when you come in, your therapist is going to get to know you a little bit. They're going to read your history. They're going to talk to you about your history. And really it can be lifelong, like what things have led to this point, so you can better know how to treat you. And then posture and alignment and mobility is really important. Your pelvic mm-hmm. girdle is in the center of your body. So everything that's going on above and below affects that area. So they'll do an evaluation of just how you're moving, how you're standing, and just kind of evaluating everything around the pelvis. And then typically on the first visit, not always, but on the first visit, I was trained that you try to do an internal pelvic evaluation as well. So especially if it's an incontinence issue, it's good to know how the pelvic floor muscles are, how strong they are, if you're able to do a contraction, or if they're too tense and you actually need to work on relaxing. So the only way to really know is to do an internal evaluation. So your therapist would have you change and try to be as modest as possible. And then insert one or two fingers through the vaginal canal to have you squeeze around the fingers, and then you can really get an idea of what's happening in the pelvic floor, which is just so valuable to know.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right. And everyone just needs to know this is what you do.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's like going to the OB dog, same thing.
I was mentioning before when I went to my first course and we were all doing this on each other, I told my husband one day, I can't do this. This is so different. We're just, you know, everybody's just there.
Wow.
Goes. And then I realized after one day, like, this is so special to like be able to go and help patients in this way, because it really is life changing. So
I love that. And I think the type of people who do that kind of work have that same heart. Yeah. And so, so you can just feel safe and secure. they're there to help. I love that.
And it's mostly women. So it's
right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I appreciate a woman doctor in all of those areas. Yeah. So yeah. And I think compared to like a typical medical doctor, the therapists have time, so they will talk to you and get to know you. It's not like doctors who are like rushing you through.
No, we have so much time. That is what is so, you'll have an hour, at least to really, and they'll explain it is a vulnerable thing. So,
Right. Okay, so next I want to talk about incontinence. Most of the girlfriends that I chat with on this topic, we do deal with that as, you know, primarily a little leakage or a lot of leakage. I've shared with you my story. And actually, if people want to like dig in the archives, in probably 10 years ago, I did a little YouTube series with my husband where I was like, life in your 40s. And I talked about some leakage issues. Mm-hmm. And I was relieved when you told me it wasn't unusual. It was in my third birth when Luke was born that I did have a vaginal prolapse. And I think it must have been grade 3 now that you're saying that, because a friend was there and she took some photos and I saw a photo and I was like, what is that? It does not belong there. So that freaked me out. But my doctor was really encouraging and said, you know, there's just get home and get working on the Kegels. Mm-hmm. And when I came back at my, I think 6 week, he was really encouraged mm-hmm. and was like, wow, you've made a lot of progress. Mm-hmm. But since that time, I think for years, I love to run and I have definitely struggled with leakage, but I've never been super consistent, if I'm honest, about doing Kegels and probably doing them the right way. And so I've made a few visits to urogynecologists mm-hmm. to be evaluated, considering if I should consider a surgery. I guess they call it bladder sling. At least that's what I've heard it called. But my husband has also challenged me because, you know, I get up in the morning, I have a couple cups of coffee, I do my devotions, and then I go running. And he's like, okay, you're starting your day with a diuretic. Like maybe if you just got up and went running before filling your bladder full and all of that, maybe that would be wise. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't run to surgery. So more recently, here I am in perimenopause, which is a time when I would imagine everything's changing. Maybe getting looser, it would seem, but I've really been focusing on my work and doing my Kegels and doing them really intentionally and not just like while lying in bed when I fall asleep after the second or third one. And the last couple months, I have not been leaking at all. And I feel like throwing a little party because yes. this is like the best it's been in years and years. And so with that, maybe talk to us about incontinence. I know you've mentioned there's a few different types mm-hmm. and then give some hope to women listening that there is something you can do and maybe even what kind of treatments physical therapists do as well.
Yes, I love that. I love that testimony. It's such a testimony to just working on it's a muscle. The pelvic floor is a muscle, like any other muscle. So how do you get stronger? You have to strengthen, right? So so three types of incontinence. There's stress incontinence, which is what you were mentioning, more from putting stress through the pelvic floor. So higher level exercise, jumping, running, sneezing, coughing, lifting. I still have a little trouble whenever, this is kind of funny, but if I'm picking something up and then I sneeze or cough.
Oh, yeah. Can't do both.
It's like so interesting to learn about, wow, okay, so in that position I had that. So what is that doing to my pelvic floor, right? So posture really does affect the pelvic floor too, which running posture can also contribute. Oh. So stress incontinence is that. Then you also have urge incontinence, and that is when you have a really, really strong feeling of needing to go to the bathroom that you're not able to control. And a lot of times it happens on the way to the toilet, you have a little leak and it's like, I couldn't quite make it. Or there's certain things that can trigger it. If you hear running water, you're doing the dishes, or you're first arriving home, or
as we're talking about it, how come I suddenly
right? When you're talking about it or thinking about it. So that can create the feeling of a really strong urge. And urge is a normal feeling. We should get a little signal from our bladder when we're almost mm-hmm. full. Hey, I'm going to have to go, you know, I'm going to have to empty. That's a normal thing. But the when it becomes really strong and uncontrollable, that's when it's something that you could treat and kind of reset that system to be down, regulate the nervous system to not give you such a strong feeling of that. So that's urge incontinence, and then you have a mix, which is a little bit of both. So sometimes it's also that your pelvic floor muscles aren't strong enough to mm-hmm. control the urge as well. So that's the three types.
Hey friends, if you are a homeschooling family or thinking about becoming one, I want to make sure to tell you about our family's favorite math and science curriculum. DiveIntoMath.com offers amazing classes in both science and math through the AP level. Now, many of you know that my oldest sons went on to college to study engineering and data analytics, and they give credit to Dr. Shorman of Dive Into Math for both getting into college and having a successful college experience coming out of homeschooling. struggling. They have since then, of course, graduated from college and landed great jobs. So we give Dr. Shorman a lot of credit often. Now, what you need to know is that Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective, and he also teaches the why of learning math, which I think makes a big difference. He offers self-paced courses in a state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto grading and auto grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself. And he's like the nicest guy you could ever know. Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which is super important if you want to keep that door open for your kids to go to college. Now, you can also earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. Definitely go over to diveintomath.com, check out all they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed, and your kids are going to love the classes. Hey parents, I have some good news for you. For a limited time, we're offering 15% off all kids' products at Christian Parenting. The Christian Parenting store has amazing resources like the Noteworthy Kids and Noteworthy Prayers, a delightful set of scripture-based note cards designed to inspire and encourage your children with positive messages. Their scripture affirmation cards offer daily encouragement and positive messages for your little ones. There are also multiple devotionals written just for kids, packed with engaging activities and scripture readings designed to bring your family closer together and to deepen your child's relationship with the Lord. And there's so much more. Christian Parenting has so many resources to support your child's spiritual growth. Head over to cpgive.org, that's CP as in Christian Parenting, cpgive.org, to explore the full collection and find the perfect resources for your family. Remember, these offers won't last long, so take advantage of the sale today. Okay, that's super helpful. Mm. Do you want to tell us next what people can do on their own or about treatment? Go in whatever order is easiest for you.
Yeah, so I want to plug here that it is important to see a physical therapist. I think that sharing information here is really useful, and you can definitely take some of these tips and try them. But if you're not seeing results, you just want to make sure, like I was saying, that you know what's happening in the muscle, because if the muscle's too tense and you're strengthening, you could maybe be perpetuating the problem, you know, that's happening for you. But in general, I would say if you've never had pain and you're now having some leaking and you're older, or you've maybe had a couple pregnancies, then it's probably safe to say that there's some weakness there.
Right.
And so learning how to do a proper Kegel is important. Even I have realized that sometimes it's hard to, especially after you've gone through labor, it's like feeling the muscle is like, it's kind of like different. It just mm-hmm. your body doesn't feel the same anymore. And so being able to feel that you're activating that muscle and relaxing the muscle appropriately is really important. So,
and I'm guessing real quick, would you say for someone who hasn't had babies yet, but plan to, it would be really good to get in touch with that before having babies, right? Don't wait.
Oh yeah. Well, even for pregnancy prep, to be able to relax your pelvic floor is important too. So just being able to fully relax and fully contract your pelvic floor is a really good thing.
Can you walk us through a proper Kegel?
Yes. So in the clinic, and this is probably just how I was trained, so there's probably other methods that physical therapists have, but we would always start laying down and working on breathing. So inhaling and letting the belly rise and letting the ribs expand kind of in a 360 degree direction, and, you know, closing your eyes and feeling the pelvic floor muscle relax as you inhale. And then maybe just the way it naturally works is it relaxes as you inhale and it contracts as you exhale. And so working with that, so you inhale and relax and then exhale and squeeze.
And that's
a good way to start. And I know that's unrealistic. It's who has time to lay down and do 10 Kegels.
This is important. No, this is good.
When you're working on it, like you were saying, when you really started working on it, I think it is important if you're having symptoms and you want to see change, try to carve out those 3 minutes a day to lay down, really think about your pelvic floor and start contracting it that way along with your breath. And then you can work to doing that more when you're in your car or I don't know, some normal thing that you're doing during the day, you can start to try to activate the pelvic floor. I also think it's good to just do what they call a neck, which is where you're just squeezing quickly. So it's good to work on the pelvic floor with a breath. So inhale and relax, exhale and squeeze, and try to hold for as long as you can. Up to 10 seconds is considered maximal strength, being able to hold that contraction for 10 seconds.
But I read that in your notes and I was really proud because I think I can do
it. Yeah, that's great.
I made it to 10, I think. But you know, it's funny when partway through you're like, you don't really, it is such a different muscle. Yeah. So this is good. And I'm going to say in show notes, I'm going to find an image, or maybe you have one, mm-hmm. of the pelvic floor, mm-hmm. because I think it helps people to be able to see the pelvic floor, like with the bones and all of that, the anatomy there, because I think that helps you visualize what to do. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, take it from there.
Yeah. So your pelvic floor muscles are the base, are the bottom of the abdominal cavity. So if you think about your trunk as a cylinder, the top of that is your respiratory diaphragm and the bottom is your pelvic diaphragm, which involves your pelvic floor muscles. And so there's nothing below them to support them. So they have a big job.
They do.
They're supporting, they're keeping you dry, and they're also supporting all of those abdominal organs. And so,
yes. And sometimes a baby or extra body weight and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's really shaped kind of like a basket, yes. right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So they're that bottom basket. And so if you can imagine that as you inhale, they descend a little, and then as you exhale, they come back up, and they will always have naturally a little bit of, they should be active at all times, because that's what keeps your sphincter for your bladder supported, so that you aren't just leaking. So their job is to be in a natural little state of contraction, but it is good to really think about being able to relax and contract through a full range. Mm,
got it.
And then I think it's also good to do these quick little activations of the muscle too.
Okay.
Because especially if you are struggling with urge, the natural way that urge works is if you're getting a really, really strong urge, but then you contract your pelvic floor muscles, it's supposed to help to quiet that urge. So right. The system normally works that the pelvic floor muscles are activated and the bladder is quiet. But then when it's time to, and that's when the bladder's filling and you're just going about your day. But then when it's time to go, your bladder starts to be a little more active and saying, hey, I need to empty. And then your pelvic floor muscles relax. So that's what happens when you get a leak sometimes, is that bladder is too active and then the pelvic floor muscles aren't strong enough to control it. So doing those quick activations are good to be able to activate the muscle quickly and
it's almost like fast twitch and slow twitch muscles. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm stretching it, but I'm thinking of like, you need to be able to do the quick squeeze, but also sustain it in a hold.
Yeah. So when a patient comes in and they're really wanting to see a change, we recommend doing that 3 times a day. Try to do 10 of the longer holds with breathing and then 10 of those quick ones 3 times a day. And if you can do it more, great, but I know that's...
Yeah, and once you get in the habit, I find myself all the time, like just sitting at my desk and I'll just like...
Yeah.
It's becoming a habit, which is really cool. Because you feel more and more control. It's like you said, lifting weights. Like, I just got stronger. I'm starting to be more tuned into it and feel it more than I used to too. Yeah. So I know I've made progress.
Well, and something interesting about age, I feel we don't really think about these things until we have problems, right? But in your 30s, even... as you're preparing for the aging process and what naturally happens, the stronger you are in your 20s and 30s, it really does carry over into your 40s and 50s and older. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot about resistance training, but I think it's also important to strengthen the pelvic floor muscle as well. It's just naturally going to get weaker as we get older.
Yes. Okay. And maybe touch on the some of the things we can do too for the urge incontinence. And you shared an example when we spoke recently. And then I found myself, I think that very day, practicing, because I was coming in the house with groceries and a certain scenario that you described, I was like, I'm doing that right now. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. So what's interesting about urge is an urge incontinence and urinary frequency. So going to the bathroom a lot, if you feel like you go every, 20 minutes or a lot of that comes down to the brain and the bladder, actually. It's very connected. And so I'm really passionate about this, actually, because I think it is something that you can really start to treat on your own. And the biggest thing I would suggest, if you are someone who finds, you're doing the dishes and all of a sudden you have to run to the bathroom, or you're first coming home, your key's in the door, and you're just like, oh, I can't make it. I think the first thing to work on is to disassociate the activity with the urge. And so if you put the key in the lock and you get the urge, I would suggest have a little chair by your door and sit down in the chair and try to stay calm, because the more anxiety you have around it, the more that bladder becomes active. So breathe and stay calm, but do those quick pelvic floor contractions. Just the biggest thing, stay calm. Second thing, contract the pelvic floor, because that's going to naturally quiet the bladder. And the way that urge works is on a bell curve. And so you feel the urge, and then it grows and grows and grows and grows, and it peaks. And that's the worst time to go, even though it feels like the best time to go, but it's the worst time to go. And give it a little time, and it's going to start coming back down. And then when it's down and you're like, okay, it's under control, then, go to the bathroom, but calmly. And they even say, repeat that on the way. If it comes back on the way, repeat it. Don't go.
Wow.
Try to sit down. Even especially if you're at home, I would suggest working on this, because if you have a little leak, it's okay. If you're out, you don't want to have that. So just go when you're out. But when you're at home, try to get to where you're going to the bathroom without that feeling of urge, because you're going to start to train the brain to go, hey, you don't have to give me such strong of an urge.
Like settle down.
Calm down.
I love this. I just love, and I've just recently in this same series talked just about our mindset and our thoughts and how powerful they are, but how cool that even with our bladder, there is that brain connection. And in fact, one of the resources that you have available, relates to the brain and bladder connection. Why don't you just give a quick plug for that right now, since we're on the topic?
Yeah. So I have a couple resources for this, actually. One is a questionnaire it's just a yes or no questionnaire, pretty basic, but it just asks, do you have any of these, or do you experience any of these situations or scenarios? And really, if you answer yes to any of them, it's probably something that you could work on. And then the second one is a bladder and food log. So it's set up to be one sheet for a 24-hour day to log what you drink and how much, how many times you're going to the bathroom, if you have any leaking or urge associated with it. And then also a little section for what you eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, just to kind of try to gauge, okay, are there things that are contributing to this? Because certain foods can also contribute to more activity in the bladder. And like coffee, coffee is a diuretic. It's also acidic, so it can be a little more irritating on the bladder. But the other important thing is, another thing is a lot of, if women go to the bathroom a lot, sometimes they don't want to drink water because they don't want to go to the bathroom more.
Right.
But really, when you drink water, you are diluting the urine, so you're making it less irritating on the bladder. So drinking water actually, over time, maybe not right away if your bladder's not used to having you drink, but slowly building your water intake to a normal range, which I can tell you what normal is, can actually help to calm down those urges and be
lighter. Interesting.
So drinking is fine, but it's great to drink. If you're drinking a cup of coffee, also drink a cup of water.
There we go. Yeah. Which is always good anyway. Yeah. Okay. That's super helpful. I love that. Okay. So Kegels, waiting when you're feeling the urge. I also loved, I saw in your notes that if you're standing on one leg, you're actually engaging your pelvic floor. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, that's something that Jolene Smith was her name, and she's incredible. So if she ever listens to this, Jolene, I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
She mentioned that. So it's actually better if you do like higher level activity, doing more kind of hopping on one leg is a little better than two legs. Because when you're on one leg, you're engaging that pelvic floor on that leg.
So that's walking, running, even standing. Like I often just find myself doing like the tree pose when I'm just standing.
Yeah.
So that's good.
You could be engaging. Yeah. It's one of your main core muscles. So
I love
balance. is a big part of your core. So,
okay. And you are a fan of what you call low pressure fitness, which I don't know a lot about, but maybe you'll be able to point people to where they can learn more about what that is.
Yeah, it's a new, I feel it's a little newer here in America. It was, I believe, developed in Spain, and I could go on and on about this because it's, I think it's really great. It was the lady and I think there was a guy and a girl who really created the routine, but it's very based on posture and our core muscles and how they're activated during certain postures and poses. So it's a type of breathing, which is optimal for pelvic floor involuntary strength. So as I was mentioning before, you can do a Kegel and that's an active contraction of the pelvic floor that you're thinking of. You're going, okay, I want to squeeze the pelvic floor. But your pelvic floor muscles are also involuntary muscles. So they should be strong also when you're not thinking about it. And the design of low pressure fitness is to help you strengthen those involuntary muscle fibers.
Interesting.
And so it uses breath and posture and a certain technique called the abdominal vacuum, which helps to lift and engage the pelvic floor and the internal organs. So it's actually great for prolapse.
Wow.
And it's something that I would say it's similar to yoga, where you're really moving through a flow and it's based on breath and it's based on posture. And it's really working on the whole myofascial system at one time. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot to say about it, but I do have some free YouTube beginner flows on my YouTube channel. It's just, there's three levels. I just have some level one and level two flows on there. And I would say, I think they're all around 10 minutes long and they're great to do after you exercise. So I try to do 5 to 10 minutes or at least a few poses with this certain type of breathing technique after I go for a run or after I do an exercise.
Okay. Good to know. I need to actually find those because I haven't checked that out. So I need to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really cool and different.
Yeah.
I'm jumping all over the place. I hope I'm not confusing everybody, but clearly this is something I love.
I think because there's so many things to talk about, right?
There are. But can we just run through a couple more things because we're all also going pretty long here. Mm-hmm. But how about just a few other things like lifting, other things moms can do maybe after having a baby to strengthen that pelvic floor?
Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest thing postpartum is to be okay with change and to not rush right back into doing what we were doing before. So allowing your body to heal and actually, not to just say it too much, but low pressure fitness is a great way to get back into exercise. You can do it right away. There's no downtime really because it's really just posture and breathing. So that's a great thing to do right away after you go through pregnancy. But I try to, when I'm lifting my son, so my son who's 4, he uses a wheelchair. So we're lifting him all day and doing different things. And I try to think about engaging my pelvic floor before I lift him and then also exhaling as I'm lifting him up. So when we hold our breath, that's a big thing that puts a lot of pressure down through the pelvic floor. And so just getting in that habit of lifting anything, lifting your groceries, you may not always be able to keep your pelvic floor engaged, but just remembering to breathe takes a lot of pressure off of the pelvic.
Interesting. Mm. So exhale as you lift.
Exhale as you lift.
Final tips before we wrap up. Let's make sure we haven't missed anything important. Why don't you take it from there?
I think final tips are, I think everything we mentioned here is safe to try. And then if you aren't seeing the results that you're hoping for, I think it's really invaluable to go see a pelvic floor physical therapist. I think it will be very insightful and helpful and really tailor a program to you because these are all general. Everything we've talked about here is general. So it's great to have to even go just for 3 visits and just get a good kind of direction of the way that you should go.
And you say most people do experience change pretty quick, right? Like,
especially 4 to 6 weeks. Incontinence. I really, within 4 to 6 visits, I was usually discharging my patients and saying, okay, just continue with this. And I think you could go longer. I think it's great to progress core strengthening exercises, and that all plays a part too.
Sure.
Yeah, within 4 to 6 visits, there was significant change made for people who really adopted the program into their routine.
Right. And is there a time that you would say, I'm curious, I don't think I've ever asked you this, because I've told you, oh, I've seen a urogynecologist, I've thought about surgery. Mm-hmm. Is there a time that you would say, yes, get surgery? Or are you like, actually, there's never a time you need it?
That is actually a hard question, because I do think it depends on the severity. And I've had patients come in who've had a bladder sling and they're great after. And so I really think it depends on your goal too. I think it's always great to try not to, because it's just not fun to go through surgery, and you are going to have a recovery time. And then you also should adopt these exercises to maintain the surgery anyway. So I feel even better to try physical therapy first, go see a therapist and have them evaluate your posture and the way that you're doing certain movements, and then to see how strong or weak your pelvic floor is, or if you're even doing a right Kegel. Correctly. So you could spend all this time doing it, and then if you're not actually engaging that specific muscle, then you're not going to see changes. So I think always great to avoid surgery if you can. And these are great tools that are going to be great for prepping for surgery and then also recovery surgeries.
And I love that we have so many resources available and tools, and you've created so many things. In show notes, I'm going to share some of the resources that you have mentioned, and even other helpful people that you recommend following. Mm-hmm. But maybe mention a couple more of the things you're working on or have available.
Yeah, I'm currently writing a book. It's done, but it's just being edited, regarding a home program for urge incontinence specifically, because I think there's so much power and knowledge and understanding our body. So with that, I then got the idea, hey, it'd be great to just write a little series on little things you can try at home for each of these categories that we talked about. So
Definitely. That's
a long process, but you can sign up for an email to get a notification of when they are released. But working on that, and then continuously learning and trying to write blog posts on what I'm learning. And so hopefully there's some helpful resources.
So much. Yeah. And you share it in such a friendly, non-judgy way. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. I always feel like I'm safe sharing everything with you, and you're like such a warm, welcome place to share my stuff. So anyone that finds you will agree. Mm-hmm. And I'll link to all of that and all the resources. Okay. Any final word of wisdom you gave everyone listening, whether they've had babies, maybe they're pregnant or post, what's like the biggest tip you've got?
Oh, I think I can only speak for myself, because I'm I love to learn and I love to know what's going on in my body. So I would say knowledge. When I was pregnant, I wanted to learn everything about pregnancy and everything about labor and how can I do it the best way. And so the beauty of the world we live in today is there's so many podcasts and programs that you can get. And I would say it's worth the investment, even if it costs you some money to go through a pregnancy prep or labor prep course, it's worth it. If you are someone who needs help getting stronger and going through a core strengthening, it's worth the investment. And it's worth taking the time to jump on some podcasts and listen to some of these resources that are available just to learn more about your body and what's going on, because it's inevitable that we're going to go through changes, but there's so many ways that you can improve yourself along the way, no matter how old you are or how many babies you've had, you can always improve. So,
Oh, what a good word. I love that. Well, I'm super encouraged, and I feel like I've learned a lot just in chatting with you here. So I'm inspired to kind of like with the rest of my health. I'm like, who says it has to be going downhill in your 50s? Yeah. I'm like, I want to have a stronger Kegel now than ever. Yeah. So I'm inspired. Thank you so much. What is your website? Where can people find you on Instagram? Tell them all the stuff, and then I'll link to it in show notes as well.
Yeah, I have a website. It's called ArisePTandWellness.com. So ArisePTandWellness.com. And then I also have an Instagram that's Arise.PTandWellness. Those are my physical therapy websites and Instagrams. I also have, a whole other world of online things as well.
If feel free to just mention the rest. Yeah. And also, as we're recording, Sierra's also an artist. She's amazing. This woman has so many gifts and talents. But her new darling, beautiful coloring book just came out that I ordered a bunch of. And if you're on my email list, you already saw a picture and got a link to it. But tell us about that and the other stuff briefly before I let you go.
Yes, I just have to say, I'm always talking to Monica, what direction should I go in my life? Because I have so many different passions. And so now
I'm like, all of them.
I know. I have a son with spina bifida. And so I've gotten super passionate about that. I also have treated a couple other kiddos with spina bifida with some of the new physical therapy things I've learned.
Okay, wait, love it. Pause right there. Yes. Sierra and her family literally traveled across the world to connect with a mom whose son has, has spina bifida.
Yeah.
Oh, it was daughter. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that was an amazing story, but she has such a heart to support other people. So yes, you talk about spina bifida and physical therapy and supporting families. I cut you off, so carry on from
good.
There.
Yeah. So yeah, it was an amazing opportunity to go there. And I think just the heart, when you go through having a child with a disability, it's like you want to help everybody who goes through that. And so, yeah, we're hoping to create a nonprofit somehow to get more little wheelchairs to kids in other countries. We just sent two more GoBros to Jordan actually last week. Oh no, they're going on September 9th. So we're super excited about that. More kiddos over there to have access to mobility like our son. And so, yeah, I have a website. It's just sierrarare.com. And it's just more about helpful resources for that, but also parenting and raising our kids in foundation of knowing truth and knowing their worth and who they are and that they're created by an amazing creator who has a specific plan for them. So I'm really passionate about that as well. Mm-hmm. Currently working on a couple kids' books and a devotional, and yes, finished a coloring book. I actually finished a project, which was amazing. And that's
so well done. And when it came in the mail, I'm like, this is actually such quality paper and everything. Yeah. You did such a great job
on it. Thank you. Yeah. It's for sale on Amazon right now. So
yay.
That's been exciting. And yeah, loving it all. So,
So much. And it is a lot, but it's also good. I've told her, like, don't stop any of it. Mm-hmm. Just pace yourself. Mm-hmm. Right now, you've got little ones, but God is using you in mighty ways. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Sierra. God bless you. I have a feeling people might want to hear more from you. Mm-hmm. And perhaps sometime we can have you or maybe you and Chris, your husband, on to just share more of Jack's journey and your journey with him and Arlo and the whole story of the Rare family. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Monica. It's a blessing.
You bet. God bless. Aloha. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation, and I really encourage you to go over to show notes where you're going to find all the links that Sierra mentioned, plus a whole lot more. And you can find those show notes at monicaswanson.com/pelvic-floor. All right, guys, now we are wrapping up these hot topics related to women's wellness, and we are going straight into the month of October where we're talking hot topics and the most asked questions about parenting. So whether you've got discipline on your mind or how you might respond to LGBTQ issues with your kids. Maybe you're concerned about your kids struggling with anxiety or sibling relationships. Hello, all of that is coming up in the month of October. So spread the word. This is where you're going to find some great conversations. Can't wait to dive in. Once again, join my email list at monicaswanson.com/subscribe and you won't miss anything. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.